Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. We are in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, and we resume our study today in verse 30. So get your Bible, if you can, open it up. We'll begin in just a minute. As always, I remind you that the Scripture Verse by Verse website is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. That you can study the Bible from Genesis through Revelation using my audio Bible messages right there at thebibleversebyverse.com. Check it out. Begin a verse-by-verse study of the Bible with me at your pace, at your convenience. Once again, that's at thebibleversebyverse.com. Okay, Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. John, chapter 8. Let's actually go back and read verse 29. And it says, "And he that sent me," Jesus said, "he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." And then, and of course, I mentioned this last time, but it's worth mentioning again, only the sinless Son of God could say, in all honesty, what Jesus said right here. Jesus only did what pleased the Father all the time. No one else can say that. As much as we may love Jesus as Christians, we still mess up, don't we? Not Jesus. He did it every second of his entire life. And notice in verse 30, as he spoke these words, many believed on him. Jesus made a lot of people angry, turned a lot of people off by the things that he said. And remember, every time Jesus moved his lips, he spoke the word of God. So a lot of people, most people, responded negatively to what he said. But at the same time, many were saved. That's what the pure word of God does. It divides between those who want truth and those who do not want truth, those who hunger for righteousness and those who do not. Those who will be saved and those who will not be saved. The Word of God separates. That's why it's so important. I hit on this constantly, and I'm telling you, I'm going to hit on it until the day that I die. I have absolutely no use for modern evangelical preachers who compromise the truth. None. Absolutely none. They are useless. In fact, worse than useless, they are destructive as they can be. If you water down the Word of God, no one gets offended. That's true. But the lost never get saved, and the saved never get sanctified. It's a complete waste of time. 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." See, true disciples, true Christians, continue with Christ. You can't go to heaven unless you continue with Christ. If you continue with him, you are his disciples indeed. Time will tell. We must persevere. Jesus said it many times. He who perseveres to the end shall be saved. And he says it again right here. Verse 32. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The world is in bondage to error and superstition and all sorts of false beliefs that will damn its soul to hell. But when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive, included in the gift of salvation, truth. That's right. You also receive truth. You have the word of truth in your hand and the spirit of truth inside of you. And you never have to be deceived about anything again. 33. They answered him, "We are Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" These Jews resented Jesus saying that they needed to be set free. Us? Set free? We've never been in bondage to anyone. These people ought to get on their trolley and get back from the land of make-believe, because they're somewhere out there in la-la land. We've never been in bondage? We've never been in bondage. Well, they've been in bondage to Egypt. They were in bondage to Assyria. They were in bondage to Babylon. They were in bondage to Persia. They were in bondage to Greece. And now they still are in bondage to Rome. And those who were rejecting Jesus Christ were, as they spoke, also in bondage to sin and in bondage to Satan. It's hard to give somebody a cure if they don't admit that they're sick. It's hard to save a soul from hell if that soul doesn't believe that they're hell-bound. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." People say, "I don't want to receive Christ." No, sir. I want to be free. Free to do what I want to do. But they're not free. They're in bondage to their rebellion against the Savior that can take them to heaven and the only one that can deliver them from hell. They're in bondage to their rebellion and to the sin that they crave. They couldn't quit if they wanted to. You go ask the drunk if he can put down that bottle. He can't. You go ask the man who's hooked on pornography if he can quit. He can't. You go ask the man who is in bondage to drugs if he can quit. He can't. You go ask the man or the woman who's in bondage to any sin if they can quit anytime they want. They can't. Well, then try it. Then do it. No. They can't. Sin enslaves people. What starts out as sinful pleasure soon turns into sinful bondage. Verse 34 and 35. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever." A slave may live and serve in a beautiful home, but there's no guarantee that they can go on living there. A son can stay there always because it's his home. And Jesus is trying to tell these Jews that they are slaves of sin and could therefore be put out from the place of privilege that they are in and even the place of life and end up in hell is the implication, the end of the road. Verse 36. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." When a person receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they no longer need to be a slave to sin or religious legalism or superstition or the devil. They no longer need to be a slave to those things. A Christian doesn't have to carry the weight of those things around the rest of their life. Superstitions, legalistic religion is a heavy burden, and it is a joy killer. Serving Christ is exhilarating for a Christian. Verse 37, "I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." They were physical descendants of Abraham, all right. But they were not godly men like Abraham was. They were not men of faith like Abraham was. Abraham welcomed the word of God and was willing to obey it, even when it was difficult. They were trying to kill Jesus because he taught the word of God. Not only did they not have any interest in obeying it, they wanted to kill the one who was giving it to them. Nothing like it. They took great pride in being descendants of Abraham, like that was a big deal that was going to save them from hell. It has absolutely nothing to do with anything, and it sure can't save them. Verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Jesus represented his father very well. They represented their father, the devil, very well. That's why there was such a clash between Jesus and them. 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Physically, again, they were Abraham's children. Yes, they were. Morally, they were children of the devil. Jesus is saying, you are not spiritual children of Abraham at all. Verse 40. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. In other words, I have come speaking the truth, and you try to kill me. Abraham did not do that. Abraham was on the side of holiness and righteousness and truth. Children often take after their parents, but they did not take after Abraham. Verse 41, ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. In other words, they're denying the Lord's accusation. They're saying, we're not guilty of spiritual fornication. We've been true to the Lord God. We have one Father, and he is God. 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. It's ridiculous for someone to say, oh, I love God. Yes, I love God, but I reject Jesus, the Son of God, whom the Father sent. Well, that's stupid. I love God, but I reject Jesus, the one that God sent, his only begotten Son. You don't love God. You love, well, okay, you love some God that you have created in your image and your likeness, but not the true God. You can call him Allah. You can call him whatever you want to call him, but he's not God. Verse 43, why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? They did not understand the words of Christ because they had no desire to accept his teachings. Again, I've said this, I think the last couple of broadcasts maybe, a willingness to accept truth is needed in order to understand the scriptures. If you have a preconceived idea that is anti-biblical, and that's in your heart, and that's what you want, then when you read the Word of God, you're going to reject it. You won't accept, you won't even see it. You have to have a heart for truth to understand the Word of God, or it's not coming into you. Verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil. There you go. That's some straight talk from Jesus. And people think I'm a tough preacher. You are of your father, the devil. He said this to the religious leaders in public. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is a killer. The devil is a murderer. The devil brought death to the entire human race by tempting Adam and Eve to sin. He knew that if they fell into sin, they would die. Life would be miserable and horrible, and the rest of us would die too, and it would be miserable and horrible for us more often than not. And he did it anyway. He tempted them to do it. He enticed them into doing it. And you know, his temptation included lies about God. He is a liar and he is a murderer. And so are these Jews. They are murderers because they are plotting to kill God's son. And they are all liars because they said that God was their father. Verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Moral reprobates like these that the Lord is speaking to have a twisted approach to the truth. They raise all sorts of ridiculous challenges to the truth. Meanwhile, they try very hard to invent reasons to accept untruths. Useless human trash. 46. Which of you convicteth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Look, which of you can prove that I'm a liar? Produce some evidence that I'm lying. Come on, because all the evidence points to that I'm speaking the truth. I'm the Son of God. And he's already talked about all the testimonies to the fact that he's the Son of God. So now he flips the table and he says, now you prove to me that I'm a liar. Give me some evidence that I'm a liar. They have none. They have no evidence. Which of you convicteth me of sin? Come on. Lay out the evidence that I've sinned. And if you don't have the evidence, then I'm saying the truth. And if I say the truth, why don't you believe me? He's just painting them into a corner. And convicted them in front of everybody of being liars, of being moral reprobates who falsely accuse Jesus, and furthermore, they hate the truth. And that's why they're doing it. No one but the sinless Son of God would dare say to his enemies in public, go ahead, show me anything that I ever did that was wrong. I dare you. There wasn't one single defect in Jesus' character, not a one. Even at his trial, after he was arrested falsely and accused, even at his trial, the only way they could convict him of anything was to pay off some false witnesses. His actions, his words, his motives were all 100% pure and holy, and yet these leaders would not believe him. 47. He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. People who belong to God will hear and want to obey God's word. They want to hear God's word. They want to hear God's word. If you're saved, you love the word of God. Anybody who listens to my program, I know, loves the word of God, because you know that that's all you get here. And you know that you get it as straight and as simple and as clear and as straightforward as I possibly can get it to you. And I've been doing it that way for over 30 years. So if you listen to this program regularly, I know one thing about you. You love God's word. And you also love Jesus. People who belong to God want to hear the word of God and want to obey God's word. People are not saved because they force themselves to be where the Holy Bible is taught. They are where the Holy Bible is taught, because they are saved. Verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Well, they pulled this thing out of thin air. The Jews could not respond to the wisdom with which Christ spoke. So they just went wild and insulted him with this thing that doesn't even make any sense. They called him a Samaritan. Of course, that was a racial slur back in those days. And they said he was possessed of a devil. 49. Well, you know this probably. If you get in a debate or an argument with someone about a particular issue and you have facts and they don't, if they're not willing to accept the truth from you, when they know they're painted into a corner, they'll attack you personally. See? And that's what they did. They weren't willing to repent. They could not combat the wisdom of Jesus because it was true and they knew it. And they didn't want to submit to it, so they attacked him, tried to discredit him. 49. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. Jesus did not teach the words of a demon, and he wasn't crazy either. His only goal was to speak the words that would honor God. These Jews were not dishonoring Christ because he was possessed of a devil or a lunatic, as they suggested. They dishonored him because he was honoring God. And what does that say about them? They're heaping up all sorts of evidence against themselves for the day of judgment by dishonoring someone who is honoring God. 50. Jesus says, and I speak not my own glory. And I seek not my own glory. Let's stop there for a second. Jesus had accused them of dishonoring him, but he wants to make it clear that he doesn't mean that he was seeking honor for himself. It bothers Christ that they are dishonoring him, because in the process they are dishonoring the Father. That's the real issue to Jesus. Verse 50 again. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Jesus doesn't seek honor for himself. God the Father seeks honor for God the Son. And God the Father will judge all those who will not give the Son the honor that he deserves. 51, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And that's not talking about physical death. Obviously, good Christians die every day. This is talking about eternal death. People who receive Christ won't experience eternal death, will not suffer in hell, ever, not even a little. Verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Now they think Christ is insane for sure. Abraham and all the great Old Testament prophets die, and you, Jesus, say that if anyone obeys your word, they won't die ever? 53. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Abraham and the prophets were holy men who lived by faith, but they never delivered anyone from death. They couldn't even deliver themselves from death, let alone someone else. And you claim to be able to deliver people from death? Who do you think you are, Jesus? 54. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. See, the Jews thought that Jesus was talking big, trying to draw attention to himself. Jesus says, I am not. And it would be a waste of time anyway. Jesus wouldn't go down that road, because when people try to draw attention to themselves, it usually backfires. Isn't that true? Do you respect people who brag? Do you respect people who bring honor to themselves? I mean, do you think highly of them? When people try to draw attention to themselves, it backfires. People see right through it, and they end up looking down on those people. And so, again, verse 54, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It doesn't work. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say, he is your God. The God that these Jews said they loved and served is the God that is honoring Christ. And they will know that when they are dead. But then it'll be too late. 55. Ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar, like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. They wanted Christ to deny that he was equal with the Father because they knew he was claiming that. He wouldn't do it. If he did, just to please them, he'd be a liar just like them and he would dishonor God. Jesus would not compromise his walk with God. He would not compromise holiness to be accepted by anyone. And if you're a preacher or you're a Bible teacher that is willingness to compromise truth or holiness to be liked by someone, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And you ought to get out of the pulpit just as fast as you can. And what is true for Jesus, or I should say what is true for preachers and Bible teachers is true for Christians in general. 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. They like to talk about their connection to Abraham, you know. So Jesus says, well, speaking of Abraham, Abraham looked forward to the day that I would come into the world. He longed to see it, and he actually saw it by faith. And he was thrilled about it. Verse 57. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? They're putting words in Jesus' mouth, which so often happens with those who don't listen. Jesus did not say that Abraham actually saw him. He meant Abraham by faith saw my day. He said he saw my day. In other words, Abraham longed for and lived for the coming of the Redeemer. 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That'll push him over the edge. You know, it would have been remarkable if Jesus had said, before Abraham was, I was. That would have been pretty astounding, since Jesus is standing there, he's about 32 years old. But he didn't say that, because that could mean that there was a time when Jesus came into existence. So he didn't say, before Abraham was, I was. He said, before Abraham was, I am. In other words, I've always been. Before Abraham was, I always was. And by the way, I am is God's name. Jesus is saying, I am the eternal God. 59. Then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Jesus claimed to be God, and the Jews knew it. And that's why they tried to stone him to death. No one should say Jesus is not God, just a godly man. If you say that Jesus was not God, just a godly man, you show your ignorance. Jesus is either God or he's a nut. He's either God or he belongs on the funny farm. He's either God or a madman, lunatic, blasphemer who just thought he was God and claimed to be God. Can't have it both ways. I'm out of time. Continue studying the Word of God with me at thebibleversebyverse.com. Please remember, we're brought to you by your prayers and financial support. Never been underwritten by a large church or denomination. I need your help to get out the Word of God. Would you stand with me and be a part of this ministry? Do it for Jesus' sake, because he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. And that's what we're doing here, doing our best to get the Word of God out to as many people as we possibly can. Pray for this ministry and click the donate button at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com and prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. Until next time, so long, everyone.